following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning again, folks, and welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel, and I am glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. We are going to continue today in our series on prayer, and we're taking this month of June, just 4 weeks, to look at what prayer is, why we pray, how we pray, and then some of the things that we get to anticipate as the fruits of prayer. Now, by no means is this series exhaustive, and by no means will this be the last time I preach on prayer. Prayer is something that we could spend months, years, really, studying together. But right now, for us, there are a few things that I want us to look into as we talk about prayer together. Last week, you may remember, we looked at prayer as relationship. We looked at prayer as relationship between God and us. In that relationship, in prayer, we speak and we listen to God, who is the creator of our universe, God who is omnipotent and omnipresent. And we are also, at the same time, speaking with our God who is personal, whose own Son, Jesus, teaches us to address God as Father, and who wants that intimate relationship with us. We also looked at prayer as a relationship between God and God, and that in prayer, all three persons of the Trinity are present in this mysterious and miraculous way. We are afforded the opportunity to pray to God only through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we are empowered and encouraged, strengthened and convicted to pray by the Holy Spirit. And then finally, we looked at prayer as a relationship between all of us and God. And we began to look at how it is that prayer connects us with those around us and connects all of us then with God. We looked at prayer as an opportunity for God to remind us of the ways He calls us to love our neighbors, to love our enemies, and to forgive those who have sinned against us. And this morning, that interconnectedness between people is where we're going to pick up. And we're going to look at a couple, and just a couple, fruits of prayer. When we pray, along with growing in our relationship with God, through Christ and in the Holy Spirit, we also get to anticipate some other things happening. Some fruits of prayer. Before I get too far ahead of myself, as I'm prone to do, as you may again remember, I'm going to be opening and closing our sermon time throughout this series, praying prayers of well-known Christians. And this has actually been a really fun practice for me, looking through different prayer books I have, searching the internet for various prayers. I'm reading like dozens or hundreds of prayers over the course of the week, just finding prayers that really speak to me or challenge me, that prayers that are words that I may not have myself, but prayers that are these authentic, beautiful prayers from some of the fathers and mothers of our faith. And so this morning, to open us, I'm going to pray a prayer from St. Augustine. So please pray with me. O Lord my God, I believe in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Insofar as we can, insofar as you have given us the power, we have sought you. We became weary and labored. O Lord our God, our sole hope, help us to believe and never to cease seeking you. Grant that we may always and ardently seek out your countenance. Give me the strength to seek you. For you help us to find you, and you have more and more given us the hope of finding you. Here we are before you with our firmness and our infirmity. Preserve the first and heal the second. Here we are before you with our strength and our ignorance. Where you have opened the door to us, welcome us at the entrance. Where you have closed the door to us, open to us. Enable us to remember you, to understand you, and to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, this morning, we're going to be looking at a couple of different texts, and they're going to be at different points during this time. But our first text this morning is from the book of Ephesians, and it's from chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. If you don't have a Bible and would like one either for today or to keep, please raise your hand, or feel free to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you one. But here, Paul writes from the book of Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The first fruit of prayer that I'm going to talk about this morning is the fruit of love. We're going to talk about that as love for one another and love that comes from God. I read a short passage from a book last week, and I'm actually going to read another short passage from this book this week because it's a fantastic illustration. Megan Hill writes in her book, Praying Together, and she says, "One of my sons, when he was about 5 years old, went through a period of praying nightly in family worship for the Christians in Bosnia and Herzegovina. I don't know why that country occurred to him. I suspect it was the tongue-twisting possibilities of its name. But night by night, he faithfully remembered those Christians before God, and we found our hearts increasingly drawn to them. Today, I can't look at a map or hear a news story from the region without offering a prayer on behalf of the church there. In heaven, I want to be present when my son meets the Bosnian and Herzegovinian..." That's exactly why he chose that those people. "The Bosnian and Herzegovinian saints and hears them tell what his prayers accomplished. We share in God's work throughout the world when we obey his command to pray together for all saints everywhere." Megan Hill, in her book here, gives us this kind of cute anecdote, right, from her son's childhood that turns into a profoundly spiritual opportunity for her since. And it's maybe just because the name was fun for him to say. But now Megan has been drawn closer to and has learned to love more deeply the Christians, the people from Bosnia and Herzegovina. Have you ever had that experience? Whether it's a country, a people group, a family, etc., that you have been prompted to pray for. Maybe you've been prompted to pray for them by a flyer or a book or a news story, or just because the Holy Spirit has brought that group on your mind, where you have felt drawn closer and closer because you have been praying for those people. Because they have become more than just a group to you. Because they have become individuals that you love because you have been praying for them. I know I've experienced that on kind of the grand national level, certainly. Feeling drawn closer to people of specific countries because I've been praying for those countries. And whether, again, that's through news stories or whatever else. But it's also happened on a far smaller level, too. And smaller both in terms of the number of people, but also closer in terms of the physical proximity. Recently, I was down in Mount Vernon, where the Covenant pastors gather. We try to gather monthly for prayer, to check in with one another, to read scripture together. And I walked into the room, and I saw a familiar face, but not someone that I knew well. I introduced myself, and she introduced herself, and I said something like, I'm sure that we've met before, because usually that's the case in these situations, and felt badly that I didn't know this person's name. And we went on talking and, you know, hearing what each of us were up to. And it took me a while. It probably took me way longer than it should have. But I realized that I had never met this woman before. But I knew her because I'd been praying for her. She was a missionary in Thailand. And I knew her face from the Covenant Missionary Prayer Calendar and from the emails that I get daily asking for prayer, specific prayers for the missionaries in the various countries that our denomination has around the world. I'd been praying for this woman, Christy, for years. I'd been praying for the people she had been serving in Thailand for years. And so there is this immediate connection. There is this immediate desire to know more about her and what she's doing and what she's up to, because I had been praying for her. It was this really, really neat moment. But I don't want to give the impression that this is something, that this deepening of love and relationship only happens when we're praying for people who are or were once a great distance away. As Paul writes in this passage in Ephesians this morning, we're called to love and to pray for our brothers and sisters. And so we have to remember that it is just as much our brothers and sisters both across the globe, across the country, across the street, but even just next door or in the seat next to us. And maybe this actually becomes more powerful for us when we are praying for those who are immediately around us. And I think that's true for a couple of reasons. First, because we can see and know and hear immediate requests much easier of those people who are immediately around us. Certainly, we get that information quicker than we once did in this age. But we get to know easier and more clearly the people around us, and so the struggles in their life and also the joys in their life. And the other side of that is we also get to celebrate the way that God has worked in the lives of those who are around us in a more immediate way. We again get to hear about the things that God has done, the ways that God has answered prayer. We get to recognize and help recognize what God is up to in ways that would take a bit more time or feel a bit more distance with our brothers and sisters across the globe. As we learn about what God is doing in the lives of those immediately around us, we begin to learn more and more about who God is, about what God is up to, and about what we can do to participate in what God is doing in the world. We grow in our relationship with God. We grow in our love for God. We grow in understanding God's love for us, and we grow in our love for other people. We learn more about this love, and we experience greater love as we pray for and with one another. All right, we've come to the part that when I told Erica that we were going to do this, she said, oh boy. So we're going to try something, and I know that you're not used to this from me, but prayer is not something that I should just talk about up here, right? Prayer is something that we need to practice together as well. So I'm going to ask you to turn to one person next to you or relatively next to you. It can be someone you know well. I'm not going to put you in the position to feel super uncomfortable, just a little bit uncomfortable. So it can be someone you know well. Or it can be someone you don't. They won't bite, I promise that. Don't bite. And then I want you to ask each other one thing that you can be praying for. Just one. Ask each other one thing you can be praying for. And then ask each other one way you can praise God today. That's it. One thing you can be praying for and one way you can praise God today. simple, easy. And then I want you to pray for one another. If you're comfortable, pray out loud together. If you're not, that's okay. But still, spend that time praying for one another. And if you're having trouble finding the words, I'll ask Shelley to go back one slide, and you can use these words of Paul's to pray for that person sitting next to you. So I'll give you just a few minutes here to pray. My apologies to those of you who are still praying. You can continue to pray and just ignore me. That's very okay. But so I realize that many of you may have just prayed with someone you know very well, someone you may pray with quite often, and that's really wonderful. It was pretty cool to be standing up here and watching people share, converse, and then pray for one another, and then the smiles that I saw, it was really beautiful. But I also hope that maybe this gives you a little bit of courage to track down someone sitting on the other side of you after our service this morning, and to ask these same questions, and to be praying for people in the same way. And then I have no doubt that you will experience love in that, that you will experience God's love, the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I have no doubt that you will learn more about love, that you will grow in love, and that you will be loved in that. What a wonderful fruit of prayer love is. The second fruit of prayer that I'm going to discuss this morning is the fruit of discipleship. And I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 38 to 44. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Just like we read in Matthew 6 last week, where Jesus instructs us on how to pray, we see here Jesus teaching and giving an example to his followers in prayer. This isn't the same kind of explicit "do this, don't do this, say this, don't say this" of Matthew 5, but it is just as instructive. Jesus here interacts with God the Father and out loud talks to God, showing those who were gathered there that indeed he could do that. It gives this weight and context to the promise of our ability to interact with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus goes right to God the Father and shows by example that it is through the power of God that Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Prayer is an opportunity for discipleship. When we hear and we see people pray, and one of the reasons why I said it's really fun for me to be searching all these prayers is because I am learning more about prayer and more about God in reading all of these prayers. It can be this really beautiful thing, beautiful because we see this intimate interaction between God and one of his beloved children. And it's beautiful because in that we get to learn more and more about God from those who also know and love him. And whether we're thinking about it at the time or not, hearing other people pray can be a really important learning experience for us. And it can be this valuable discipleship experience for us. Hearing another person pray, if we can see and hear it with open ears and eyes, gives us a glimpse into another person's relationship with God. As much as I'd like to, I know that I don't have prayer all figured out. I don't have the practices of prayer all figured out. I don't have the words of prayer all figured out, or even the entire content of how I'm praying all figured out. I'm learning every single day the ways that I can deepen my relationship with God through prayer. And a big way that I learn that is through hearing other people pray, or even reading the prayers of others, seeing the example of other people. The very first assignment that I had in preaching class in seminary, which was, you know, just a year or two ago, it was like 10 years ago. That feels like a very long time to me. But the very first assignment was for us to give a testimony to a preacher. It was to pick a preacher that had been particularly impactful for us, and then to explain why that preacher was particularly impactful. And I racked my brain trying to come up with some sermon that I had remembered and knew how much it had impacted me. And, you know, there are so many that... I wish that were the case. I wish that sermons stuck in there. But what was more impactful and what I remembered was not a particular sermon by this one pastor, but it was the way he both preached and lived his life. The way he interacted with me on a daily basis when I saw him and his kids and his family at camp, and when I heard him preach. It's a pastor named Joel Anderle. He's a pastor in West Peabody, Massachusetts. Brilliant guy, kind of a weird haircut, but just he was so authentic in his interactions with people, and in his interaction from the pulpit, and his interaction in prayer. And I learned so much through that because it was real, because it was authentic. And that's what I ended up talking about in this testimony to the preacher. The way that he did discipleship was to model it for people and allow people to see that. And that's a lot the way discipleship in prayer works. We get to learn about and see and witness the way God is moving in people's lives by the way they pray. I know that I am not alone in this at Emmanuel, but I have been dramatically impacted by the times that I have prayed with people who have known Jesus, both for far longer than I have, but also for far shorter than I have. By people who know Jesus in different ways and who have known Jesus for different lengths of time, because their prayers are about different things, because their relationship with Jesus is different than mine. Because Jesus is that personal. Jesus is that intimate that each person's interaction is going to be different, and I can always learn from that. One of the things that I think of that comes to mind for me is so often praying with Ken and hearing Ken pray for the persecuted church. This is something that I know is important, but boy, is it that much more impactful for me hearing him pray fervently for the persecuted church time after time after time. And that's not... He's not the only one who's praying that. He's not the only one who's teaching me that. He's not the only one whose prayers have discipled me, learning more about God, learning more about the ways God loves the world and the ways that God loves us. Prayer is this incredible opportunity for discipleship. And in that, we have a responsibility on both sides. We have the responsibility to those that we worship and fellowship and serve with to be an example of prayer. We have a responsibility to pray for our brothers and sisters in a way that they can learn and grow from. We have a responsibility to teach and to lead and to guide, and most often that has nothing to do with being particularly articulate. When I wrote that, I was really excited to say it. Particularly articulate. And I nailed it. But it has everything to do with being sincere. We have the responsibility of welcoming people into a sincere and real relationship with Jesus Christ. And prayer is a phenomenal way to do that. And it's perhaps the easiest opportunity we have to do that. It's the easiest example we can set. Prayer is such a natural thing for those of us who know God, to be in conversation with God. And it allows us then to be teachers and to help disciple those around us. We also have the responsibility to be discipled. The responsibility to continue to grow and to be open to what God is saying to us through others and through the prayers of others, listening for those things that God may be speaking to us through the words of others. Prayer is this wonderful, beautiful thing, and it's beautiful because of the relationships that make up prayer. Relationships between God and us, between God and God, and between all of us and God. And prayer is so exciting because we get to see fruit from prayer. And just a couple of those fruits are discipleship and our love. My prayer for you this week is that you may experience both of those fruits in your own prayer life this week. So I'm going to close this morning with the words of and the prayer of Mother Teresa. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance wherever we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our soul. Let them look up and no longer see us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be the light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way you love best by shining on those around us. Let us preach you without preaching, not by words, but by our example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what we do. The evident fullness of the love of our hearts bear to you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.